now he's playing on the surface of the sun, and he is just drenched. First tee, and you know, it's great to say that no cameras are allowed and that fans can't talk. They don't understand. There was literally a kid in a tree holding an iPad taking a picture of Tiger.
Right.
Like, it was packed on a Wednesday. And Tiger hits his ball and it's on the first tee, and then he's waiting. King goes up there, hits it about 3 feet, puts another ball down, slices it into the woods. All three pro-am partners do the exact same. It's about 3 feet. So I walk for the first two holes, and I'm sweating, and Tiger's, and it's taking forever for these people to play golf. So I look at Tiger, and I say, Tiger, 364 days of the year, your life is probably better than mine. I'm going to go back to the media center now and sit in the air conditioning. He threw out an expletive at me, hit me with an FU.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Golfers Journal podcast presented by Titleist, the number one ball in golf. My name's Tom Coyne, but you were just listening to Mr. Golfers Journal himself, Travis Hill. Travis, what's happening, my man?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for jumping back on the pod with us. It's
been my pleasure.
Yeah, we've had you on twice in a month's time.
I'm dominating this podcast.
You are. You're taking over. See you, Bannon. But great to have you back this time talking with your close friend, Chris Reimer. Tell us about Chris and what we have to, what's coming
Man.
Up in your convo.
How long do you got? No, Chris is
37 minutes.
Chris is the best. He is one of my closest friends, both in and out of the industry. I've known him for about 20 years, most of which he worked. He kind of rose up to the level of being a vice president in the communications department at the PGA Tour, which meant his job was to do a lot of media relations and public relations type work. So, you know, if you're watching after the tournament, you know, the guy from the PGA Tour that kind of like shakes Tiger's hand and ushers him out into the sort of media scrum, that's Chris. He's the guy on the dais afterward, you know, taking questions for the players.
That's awesome. What a job.
There are some very sexy parts to that job, as you will
Heck yeah.
hear. He's one of the few people, I think, that he's really got an interesting window into not only how the tour works and just kind of a lot of the machinations of how tournaments get done and why things happen the way they do, but, you know, probably more interestingly to most of our listeners, you know, he's spent a lot of like actual time with Tiger Woods and Ernie Els and all these, you know, like Dustin Johnson. Like, he really, like, they know him.
Yeah.
which is pretty cool. So you know, and you know, beyond that, Chris was the best man at both of my weddings.
I think that
more importantly, he was the best man at both of my weddings.
That is the most interesting thing about Chris. Let's be honest, Tiger Woods be damned. that he got a second shot at the old nuptials.
He wasn't great the first time, Tom, so we had to run it back.
I wouldn't know anything about that, Travis. Oh, that's yeah. awesome. Well, you guys, it's great to listen to you know, two close friends relive some stories. So that's coming up, everyone. And also some exciting news to share about your 2021, Travis.
Yes.
This is our end of year podcast. It's like enough. I don't want to rehash or relive. We all know it, you know, 2020, etc. We do a little bit of a recap in our newsletter that's coming up.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Which I think is pretty cool.
We'll talk about our favorite things for the year.
Watch Sound of Music last night, our favorite thing, speaking of which.
Good job.
Thanks. I've got a long story about the Sound of Music someday. We'll do on a podcast.
Wow, I cannot.
I know. No, seriously. But in any event, our favorite things are in the newsletter, pods, features, and stuff. So that's pretty cool. But your 2021, I feel like next year I'm going to be talking about my favorite thing is going to be your golf game. Why so, Travis?
One can hope, Tom. One can only hope. I am embarking on a project for myself, but everyone else gets to kind of come along for the ride. I am going to try to get down to a 10 handicap. Currently, I am a nothing handicap. I don't...
that's really good, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Not zero. Like it doesn't exist. I've never had
void.
One. Yeah, I've actually never had a handicap. For spending as much time in golf as I have, I'm pretty terrible at it. I am dedicating next year to getting there. Obviously, the caveat of all of that is is time. So, I'm the editor of this magazine, and there are lots of things. Everyone has a job. I have my job. I have two very young girls. I want to be a good dad and a good editor and a good husband and a good friend, blah, blah, blah. So which leaves you, when you start whittling that down, you don't have a lot of time. And so golf, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, golf tends to get pushed to the side. And so I had an embarrassing round of golf with Solly from the No Lane Up crew a few weeks ago. And I was just like, you know what? Even though I don't have a lot of time, I need to just stop embarrassing myself out here. So I'm going to do my own version of Paper Tiger.
Nice.
And give myself a year to get to a 10. What do you think, Tom? You think
I love it. I love that. Well, first, I love the shout out to my book, still available wherever you purchase books. But that is,
go buy it.
It's a great idea. I mean, you have that moment of clarity and you're like, I've got to get better. And
yeah,
what you're doing though is Paper Tiger for dads. It's for Paper Tiger for real people, right? Like in Paper Tiger, I didn't have any commitments in my life.
Right.
And I could just, whatever. But how do you strike that work-life golf balance? I think that's super compelling. I don't think there's any of our subscribers that couldn't relate to that. So, I think it's going to be fascinating to follow your journey, and I'm psyched to see
where
things go next year.
Yeah, it's Paper Tiger for dads, and so it's not going to be a lot of like, well, I got on the track, man, and I really my dispersion, right. I really need to shrink my dispersion. It's not going to be a series of technical essays. I'll probably do one a month where I just kind of drop in and let people know how I'm doing. I've never had a handicap before, so I'll probably have a rant about that. And, there will be interesting people I meet along the way. I really don't have time to be like, all right, well, today's my 2-hour lesson. We're working on chipping it. I'm still figuring out how I'm going to allot this time. So each essay is going to be just kind of an adventure.
Well, that's part of the story. I think more people can relate to having a hard time finding time to golf than they can,
that's
how to hit the perfect
the
bunker shot.
It's, I am lucky in that I am in this industry, so I get a few legs up. I know some people that are happy to, give me some swing tips, at a golf course down the street. I have called our friends at Titleist. And they have given me very, very nice golf equipment with which to try this endeavor. I got fitted for the first time. So that's a whole thing, Tom. I didn't know that was,
And so I know there's been, we were talking about this, there's been some immediate improvement by putting the, what'd you get? You got the T300 irons,
I did.
Those in your bag.
Yeah.
You got the new driver.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I mean, you've got to feel, you haven't had new clubs in a while. It's got to feel you're a new
man
already.
It's crazy. It's funny, and I'm sure I'll write about this, but I'm sure a lot of players have this moment where like, all right, well, I'm going to get better, and now I'm either going to tweak my swing or I'm going to get new clubs or whatever. And you have the dip where you're like, well, I'm this good now, but you have to get worse before you get better. And I played once with these new golf clubs and I was a menace, like didn't know any yardages, way longer than I thought I was, like just flying balls all over into people's yards. And it's just in other groups. So I need to get through this, this menace stage before we really embark on getting to 10.
The ball is going to go farther.
Yes.
You're going to have to get used to that for sure. So thanks to our friends at Titleist for being a part of Travis's journey, along with the other brands from the pages of the Golfers Journal, and those are Lynx Soul, Scotty Cameron, Oakley, New York Private Bank and Trust, and Lynx and Kings.
Hey, one more shout out too to FootJoy, who gave me new shoes, and we just had a thing with them. They are going to be a new partner as well. So thanks, FootJoy.
Outstanding. They've got some beauties this year. I got, I got a Christmas package that was pretty jazzed about.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah. So, that's awesome. Well, here we go into 2021, I suppose. What else do we have to tell folks? Hey, spend your Lynx Soul cash. It's in your locker.
Yes.
That's cool.
And 14's out there. The story that Chris and I are going to talk about is from number 14.
That's his
maiden voyage as an author in the journal. He goes down to Tasmania on a PGA Tour sanctioned trip for the President's Cup and comes back with just, you know, he gets to go to Cape Wickham and, you know, King Island.
Yeah.
And I'm just like so jealous.
Yeah, it's got to be tough to be the editor of this.
It is sometimes,
because
Tom,
we do a lot of cool stuff.
Thank you, Tom, for understanding.
From the envy factor. I mean, man. Everyone's like, Travis, I just had the greatest month of my life. Can I write about it? And you're just, yes. You know, you're in Jacksonville just grinding away.
I'm sitting at my desk with my little girls yelling at me. Yes. So, yes.
It's all good. It's, well, he does.
But no, it's a great story. And 14 is just, whew, man, it's so good.
It is.
And Chris and I talk about that story and a lot more about his and some of our combined adventures through the golfing world.
Well, let's get to it. Thanks to Kelly Gary for some engineering help on this one. Thanks to Casey Bannon for producing, of course. And thank you, Travis. And thanks, Chris. And anything else we want to say to the folks?
Happy New Year, everybody!
Happy New Year!
Go get it!
All right. Well, here I am with my good friend Chris Reimer here at The Yards, a new 12-hole facility here in Ponte Vedra Beach inside the gates of Sawgrass. Chris now does a lot of work with marketing, communications, and promotion. He used to work inside the gates of Sawgrass at PGA Tour HQ.
19 years.
And now no longer does. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
In the story that you wrote for number 14, the Golfers Journal, you are still a PGA Tour employee. So, you know, I don't want to get anybody fooled. But, you know, printing, long, we got long lead times with prints. It happens. But, anyway, we'll get to that story too. But I just wanted to say hello, my friend. I'm happy to be sitting here.
Hello, Travis. And I am super happy to be sitting here. And thank you for hosting this at the Yards, like you mentioned, our new kind of 12-hole golf course that you helped launch several years ago when you took the...
I did. I was a part of getting this thing off the ground as well. So you're right. We technically own the Yards.
It was our idea. We launched it. We paid for it, everything. But it's a really cool... part of the new kind of alternative concepts that are out there in golf, ways to enjoy the game. This has a 12-hole loop, a 6-hole loop, a 3-hole loop.
A beer loop.
The beer loop. So that alone tells you everything you need to know.
More of a vodka loop for me, probably.
Yeah, you're not much of a beer guy. But it's really fun to meet with David Miller and Mike Miles, who are the GM and owner. Some people might say they launched it. I would argue you and I did.
Yeah, I think that's true.
It's fun to hear their concept of a social club that includes some golf. And I think we could use some more of that in the sport because it's less intimidating. It's a shorter amount of time for the true hardcore golfers. It still provides a challenge and it's just fun. And I think,
yeah, I have a good time when I come out here.
When you get out here, there's speakers already in the golf carts. It's kind of what, you know, those of us that socialize through the sport really enjoy.
Is how much different is the Yards than the local club at King Island in Australia, Tasmania or Australia? I always get that wrong.
King Island is Tasmania, technically.
Because you're an expert now.
It's actually between Tasmania and Australia, but I think it falls under the Tasmanian ruling.
This is important podcast material people need to know.
Indeed. The local club at Tasmania certainly has more history, right? Like it was built in the 30s, and it was what we would look at as a muni if you just drove there or flew there and played and teed it up without knowing the backbone of the course. You would say, okay, this is a really cool, unbelievably beautiful
because right on the water
setting. I like to say it's a mix of if your local muni had a menage a trois with Pebble and Bandon, that's what it would look like. You know, got freaky,
that
had
works.
A one night stand with those two golf courses. Because, you know,
that a lot.
But what you find out is that it's actually kept by volunteers.
Right.
There's only one person on the payroll. So the, you know, this course is a little bit more beautiful and crisp and pristine, but the soul of both courses is very similar in that.
See that
what it kind of means, if you will.
And most people know Cape Wickham King Island because of Cape Wickham.
Yep,
which is
an Ocean Dunes.
An Ocean Dunes.
Yep.
So you went out there. Tell everyone why you went out there.
So I was in 2018. That's how long it takes to get a something published by the Golfers Journal. in 2018, I took a trip out there for promotional purposes for the 2019 President's Cup. So it was in November.
You were doing the media and communications for the President's Cup.
Correct. And so we had Ernie Els going and visiting 1 week, and then the next week, Tiger Woods visiting Melbourne. That's how you have to say it. Say
yes.
Melbourne.
You have such a good accent.
Correct. And my wife loves when I say Melbourne. She makes fun of me. She crushes me. Anyway, so each of those esteemed World Golf Hall of Famers were visiting Melbourne to do media tours of various elements, whether it was for the golf media, for entertainment media, for sponsor promotion, whatever.
And that's the kind of thing that you would organize where, like, you would do, you're the one that really was in the room creating some of the promotional events that these
Correct.
Guys would do.
It was a team of us, but it was my kind of, you know, I was in charge.
What did Tiger and Ernie do?
So Ernie arrived the Sunday morning on, you know, overnight flight, literally landed the Sunday morning of the World Cup of Golf, which was being held at Metropolitan, one of the many beautiful courses on the Sand Belt in Australia.
Indeed, sir.
And he immediately drove to the golf course. We sat him down. We did a press conference with him where he named Jeff Ogilvy as one of his captain's assistants. We had all the Australian media there, so we felt like it was a good opportunity to get Ernie in front of the golf media. We went from there to an evening function at Royal Melbourne where the President's Cup would be played. That was a membership, you know, a couple media there, but all of the potential international team members that were playing in the World Cup came over after the round. So for those of you that know professional golfers, getting them to do something on a Sunday night after a tournament is usually pretty difficult. The love of the President's Cup and the international team
and stuff like that.
And Ernie got pretty much all of them there. So it was Kyrdek, Abby Barnrad, and Mark Leishman, and Abraham Anser, and Roberto Diaz, who had just finished runner-up. It was all of these great guys, you know, players from Canada, Chinese Taipei, Hao Tong Li was there. It was this really cool moment of all of them getting together, doing a Q&A, and then they drove home together, They drove back to the hotel together in a shuttle where they got fairly inebriated, which made working with Ernie the next day on his 7 a.m. radio interviews quite entertaining.
I remember there was a few moments of doubt of whether Ernie was going to make the 7 o'clock a.m. radio.
Yeah,
and if he did, what kind of shape he would be in.
Our good friend Phil Marburger in player relations and I walked in the hotel room to get Ernie on the air, and it looked a bit like the scene from The Hangover where we were waiting for a tiger to come out of the bathroom. But to Ernie's credit, guy's a Hall of Famer, and he crushed it. So he did radio interviews the next day. He took a trip to out to Royal Melbourne, and he did some content pieces with us, some photo pieces, and then actually after that we went over just, you know, ideas for how the international team was going to be treated at the hotel and things like that. So a 2-day press tour, if you will. And then Tiger came a week later, and we did a very similar, you know, similar elements, photo shoots, media opportunities, sponsor opportunities, walking the golf course, content collection, all of those things. The weird part about this trip, one part of it was I flew, and Thanksgiving never existed to me on the way there.
The old
international dateline made Thanksgiving 2018 non-existent. But the weird part was that I had a weekend. So when I travel with the tour, normally I'm in media centers. I would be working on the weekend. This was a weird trip in that all of a sudden I had this weekend with nothing scheduled. So I got on the Google machine and just started thought I was going to go to New Zealand, which turns out is really far away and a much more expensive ticket than I was willing to spend. So I found this island off the coast and had never heard of it. And it had three golf courses. Two of them looked absolutely incredible. Randomly emailed the golf courses asking for a tee time, booked a rental car and booked on Airbnb. And I never go play golf alone and I never go on trips alone. So this was a rare opportunity for me and one that I would find incredible amounts of value in once I got over there and enjoyed.
But you went to it's just funny. Any father, busy person at work, blah, blah, blah. Like playing alone is a gift anyway, but you got to do it at a bucket list place where people are like, you know, King Island is starting to come up now and be really kind of a big destination for people. And so here you are kind of getting the full tour from the locals and really just getting really kind of into it with everybody.
So I landed and I went to the rental car counter and Adam Healy was there and greeted me. The fact that I know him by name now tells you all you need to know about the island. He turned out to be the owner of the rental car company and the head of tourism on the island. And what I found out and what I wrote about in Golfers Journal 14 is everybody there has an and.
Right.
They're the lettuce distributor and the mayor. They're every single person has an and.
It's like the old sketch from Living Color where they all had 1,000 jobs.
Exactly. And so Adam greeted me, asked me what I was doing there. I explained. And from that moment, word spread very quickly that the PGA Tour was on the island and that I was going to get Tiger Woods to come visit someday, which is inaccurate.
The PGA Tour is here.
So I went from getting my rental car to getting my rental car, having a tee time at the ocean course, being told about the local course, having a tour of the cheese shop, having a tour of the art facility, going to a restaurant with no food. I went from having a tee time to having a friend. And so King Island is very interesting in that there is nothing else there. I mean, it is three golf courses, 800 to 3,000 people, cheese,
a lot of cattle.
But it's exactly what I needed at that moment of my life. And so the article I wrote really details who is on the island, the people on the island, and then it really
the pictures
gets in.
We got some images of the locals, and they are awesome.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal people.
And they have such pride in their island because they built it.
Just like us over here.
Yeah, exactly. Just like us. But what I found was the third course that people don't know a lot about is their local muni and the fact that it's built by people on the island. It's maintained by volunteers. It's where they have their Saturday morning games. And they all love having the variety of having two courses that have been built recently that are bringing tourists that get the notoriety.
Right. Those are the ones in the glossy magazines.
It's this third course that represents the soul of the game and the soul of the island and is a good representation of the people there who are some of the most phenomenal, fascinating humans I've ever come across.
I'm a little sad because I was going to go with you on the second trip.
But you're too fertile.
I am a little fertile. I make some magic happen. And so magic happened. And so then I was like, all right, well, you know, they're going to go back to Australia eventually. So Reimer and I will go back. Yep. Where Reimer will be hailed as a conquering hero on King Island, and I will go and I will eat all the cheese in the whole wide world.
You like cheese.
And now you don't work as a tour anymore.
Doesn't mean we can't go.
That's true. You'd still be a conquering hero.
We can still figure
true.
It out.
I just feel like flights for you might be a little more expensive this
correct.
Time around.
Correct.
But you don't work as a tour. You have since left because
I have.
Why?
Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of people ask that. I was at the tour for 19 years, 17 of which were basically in the same role of PR and communications for some of the tour's biggest events. So Players Championship, President's Cup, it's 12 events total.
And all the WGCs, all the playoff events.
Yeah. And, you know, towards the end, I think the best way to say is if you stood on a tee box that wasn't quite aligned at the green the right way, and then something was wrong with your alignment, there was just my own misalignment of the job and what I needed for my life. And so I kind of realized, okay, I have the power to change this. And so I've launched my own PR company and I have nothing but...
And you're an accomplished writer now, too.
That's true. I am.
That's right.
For the first time. And I started as a sports writer.
That's true.
And so out of college, that was my plan. And 20 whatever years later, I've got my first byline in probably two decades, which was one of the most nerve-wracking things. I can sit I can sit and host a press conference. I can go on the Golf Channel. I can do all these other things with Tiger and not be the least bit nervous. But putting my name on that story and just wondering if people were going to like it, if you were going to like it.
Well, so far, only like two or three of us have seen it, and we like it. But I mean, well, other people could hate it. You never know.
But also, like, who is my name next to? Like Tom Coyne and some of these other writers that are in 14. And then there's like, who's this Reamer dude?
Casey Bannon. Yeah. The whole thing. Good writing.
It was a process. But yeah, the tour is absolutely I wouldn't have what I have now, and
yeah,
I wouldn't
course.
Know the people, and it's a great place, and I would recommend it to anybody. It was a fantastic part of my life.
You were telling me about just kind of the traveling part. Like travel's hard. I mean, you missed a lot of stuff in your life. And I had to go to the house and spend Halloween with the kids a couple times, you know,
Uncle Travis.
Like that. And, you know, while you were hanging out with Eldrick and Ernie. But, you know, that people will look at that as like, that's a really, really sexy part of the job. And it is.
Yeah.
It takes a lot out of you. But, like, I think those you probably treasure a lot of those experiences.
Yeah. I mean, I missed... Because of where the Asia swing landed on the schedule, I traditionally missed Thanksgiving and my daughter's birthday every single year.
Right.
Or Halloween and my daughter's birthday every single year. And so those things happen. And you become used to that when you do travel. And
right.
But for me, that's where the job was, right? That's where the adrenaline is. Mm-hmm. All the other things are fun and they're great and you work with amazing people. But when you're standing on the green as Tiger wins the Tour Championship and all those people are running down the fairway, like, that's the juice.
Right.
And then also the people you meet. You have this second family that you travel with, whether it's the operations guys, the sponsors, the local media in different places you go, the traditions you have of, you know, we're going to go to Ken Stewart's Steakhouse in Akron. We're going to go to the barbecue place in Austin.
Band karaoke in Atlanta for the best Saturday night on tour.
The Thunderdome of karaoke.
That's right, baby.
I've seen Travis sing Separate Ways by Journey and Jump into the Crowd. One of the great moments on tour.
Oh, yeah. Best Saturday night on tour, baby.
It's the greatest.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's working with COVID, but hopefully
honestly, COVID's probably took a dent out of that.
To me, that may be where it started. was at that karaoke. The bar looks like the first scene from Rock Band. It's the place where the Great White Fire caught.
Yes,
it's like one of those places.
Well, it's downstairs. Like, it's dank and murky. It looks like there's a nice like sports bar above it.
Yeah.
And then like below it, it's like the roof could come in literally at any moment.
Yeah.
Brutal. So, it's so loud. There's a full band.
Yeah.
And I mean, you come out of there, I mean, it's the full 80s style. You've been standing in front of a speaker all night.
You smell like a bingo parlor.
Yeah, you can smoke
like,
in
you
there.
Smell
it's
awful.
It's just the best.
It's the greatest.
It's the absolute.
But it's places like that. It's things like that that made traveling with the tour so fun. It's the rituals. It's the people.
Sure.
And of course, the competition and being around those moments, which I have a number of them great.
The one that I never tell as good as you do is the one with Tiger and Malay. Is it Kuala Lumpur or Malaysia? Or is it the same place?
Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Yes. And that's where the CIMB Classic was held. And for those that aren't familiar with geography or climate, being in Kuala Lumpur is you're directly on the equator. So I would say it's like being inside one of the Pouncey Trends jockstrap. That's how hot it is.
Okay.
Like, that's
Thank
how
you.
Sweaty it is.
Thank you for being as graphic as possible.
Is that good?
That was great. That's what a writer does. A writer does detail
and description. See, I can do this. Good so time. Tiger played in that event one year, which you can imagine was a pretty big deal, and has a pro-am. And so his pro-am partner was the King of Malaysia and several other government officials that were ranged in age from about 85 to 115 would be my guess. So we're on the first tee, and Tiger's a sweaty guy to begin with, right? Like, we've seen him.
I mean,
the dude changes shirts during rounds.
Right.
Now he's playing on the surface of the sun, and he is just drenched. First tee, and you know, it's great to say that no cameras are allowed and that fans can't talk. They don't understand. There was literally a kid in a tree holding an iPad taking a picture of Tiger.
Right.
Like, it was packed on a Wednesday. And Tiger hits his ball and it's on the first tee, and then he's waiting. King goes up there, hits it about 3 feet, puts another ball down, slices it into the woods. all three pro-am partners do the exact same. It's about 3 feet. So I walk for the first two holes, and I'm sweating, and Tiger's, and it's taking forever for these people to play golf. So I look at Tiger, and I say, Tiger, 364 days of the year, your life is probably better than mine. I'm going to go back to the media center now and sit in the air conditioning. He threw out an expletive at me, hit me with an FU, and Reimer won, Tiger zero on October whatever, 2000 whatever. It was a good day.
Well, you and Tiger kind of have a special relationship, though, because you were in the military.
Yeah.
Early on, and you kind of led a circuitous path to the tour.
I've had a Forrest Gump life, minus the shrimp boat company. But I did college, and it didn't work the first time. So went back and went in the military and was in the Air Force. First 2 years training to be in special forces called combat control, pararescue, and failed out of the very last class to become. So I ended up getting reclassified as a military police officer. But one of the first, and then from there, went and played college football at Arizona.
Walked on it at the University of Arizona.
Played is a term you have to use very loosely.
Bear down.
Again, just more, I'm connecting that to Forrest Gump, not not humble bragging, well, kind of.
You are.
So anyway.
More of a straight brag, actually.
One of the first meaningful conversations I had with Tiger, because there weren't a lot of them in the
right,
early 2000s.
In the early days.
But it was at match play in Tucson. And it was the first year that the match play, the WGC event, was held in Tucson. And so the club didn't quite understand that Wednesday was going to be 64 players and then it would go to 32, 16. So the weekend, they still had enough food out for 64 players and there were four players left in the field. So our job is to wait for guys after their rounds. And on Saturday, they would play 36.
Right.
So
right.
Saturday morning, Tiger faced and destroyed KJ Choi and then was just sitting in this massive player dining place with food set up for everybody. And so I went in there and I'm eating and I'm literally like, there's 15 tables in the space. And I went in there to grab a bite and I'm sitting there alone and Tiger comes in. And so he has the choice to make.
Yeah, right.
Do I totally ignore this one dude who I kind of know, but I don't know? Or should I sit next to him and actually speak to this human? And
big,
so
big moment in your life right here.
So I'm like, what's he going to do? You know, before then it was like, hey, Tiger, how's it going? Good, till I saw you. And you think that's really exciting until you hear him say that exact phrase to 30 more people and you realize you're not that special. but he sat down, and Tucson is where I was ultimately stationed in the military. So somehow we got going on the military.
Right.
That was actually the first true conversation we had because it was love of the military. And so from then on, I like to think, you know, he recognized that conversation as much as I remember it. I'm sure he doesn't, but...
He knows who you are.
And then when you know, everybody talks about kind of Tiger during this comeback,
right?
And how much he has changed. And I will say 100%, he has become entirely more vulnerable and more human,
right?
On the second go around here, and now I would dare say that I wouldn't call it a friendship, but we have a really good working relationship.
You guys had some interesting moments though, because fans of people who watch all these golf tournaments will know that you were the one having to chase Tiger down in the parking lots after all those WDs all those years.
Yeah, I was the, it was at Doral, he WD'd. And, you know, of course the media want a quote. They want to know what's wrong.
Right.
And Tiger, with his injuries and with all of his reasoning forever, never gave us anything. He would never tell you, you know, he always found out after the US Open that he was playing on a broken leg, though. Like, you never. Yeah.
That's right.
A la Greg Jennings. he put the US Open on his back, dude. But, like, he would never tell you that before. He'd be like, Tiger, how you feeling? Oh, great.
Like 2 weeks later, like, I had surgery on my back.
Exactly. Like, you never, and we never got it.
And you had to face all the media guys who were so mad. They're like, God, he's going to job us again.
Exactly.
And you were like, all right, I'll run to the parking lot to get one quote for all of you guys.
I was the Piper leading all the media there. And you know, he gets in his car at the Cadillac Championship, and I had to literally stand in front of the car and stop him. And it's all, like, there's cameras there. And you just, you know,
it was the OJ police chase.
Yeah. And so you just get a quote from him. Are you injured? Yes. What kind of injury? Leg injury. What leg? Left. And that's the info I got. So I relay that on to Jimmy Roberts, and he goes on the air, Chris Reimer from the PGA Tour. And of course, he then sped away in his Mercedes during the Cadillac championship, and they treated it like OJ. And so I'm getting texts and calls from Cadillac, get that off the air. We don't want a Mercedes on the air during Cadillac. So those are the fun times. But I had a lot of – like that was the one thing that I do not take for granted along with the job was those moments where I got to be on the green, where I got to be in a locker room, where I got to be wherever it was with the greatest, most – you know, transformational athlete of my generation. Right. I have that relationship, and that's because of this job. And it was awesome. Really cool moments that I was a part of.
What about the, I always like the Waffle House story. That's one of my favorite stories.
So that was a wild day and a wild night. So that was maybe 08 tour championship. When did Mr. Palmer pass?
Mr. Palmer?
I think it was
Arnold Palmer passed away. It wasn't that long ago.
Okay. No, 18.
It was this decade.
Not 08. Yes. 16 or 18. I'm off by a decade.
Yeah. So you can't call him Mr. Palmer if you're that far off and not knowing when he died.
I'm not that guy. Bring Tom Alter on if you want that guy. So Rory wins the tour championship in a playoff against Ryan Moore and. Right.
Not going to know this.
It was the third guy. Anyway,
just make it.
The other guy dropped out in the first. He missed a putt. I'm up in the player dining area with Dustin Johnson. Who, if Ryan Moore wins, Dustin Johnson wins $10 million. So I'm up there with Paulina, Dustin, Wayne Gretzky's wife, and Justin Thomas. And Rory made a putt. He hit a wood from the fairway on 18 to really close. Looked like he was going to make eagle and win. And JT texted us and goes, awkward, which was great. But then Rory missed the putt and Dustin let out an yeah in front of all of us.
Right,
and then
actually.
He looks at us and goes, well, that's a lot of money, which was fantastic. So the playoff goes and goes and goes, and Rory ends up winning. You know, we take him through all the talk about like a number of media stops. When you win the Tour Championship FedEx Cup, it's a 2-hour process after you win of sponsor visits and media stops. And we are in Rory's winner's interview on stage going through the motions of congratulating him, amazing season, wins the FedEx Cup, and Jason Sobel and Rex Hoggard, both very similar times, texted me that Arnold Palmer has just died. So I'm on stage with Rory, and I'm sitting there on the phone trying to figure out, like, how do you get a quote from him when I haven't confirmed it?
Right.
You know, do I go live on TV? And I said, okay, let's take care of this after the press conference ends. So press conference ends. I kind of pulled Rory over to the side and just said, you know, Mr. We're getting word that Mr. Palmer's died. Arnold Palmer's died.
Thank you.
And, you know, do you want to talk to these guys about it? And so we invite him up and we say, listen, we want to make sure you confirm this before you use Rory's quote. And he gives his quotes. Then, if you remember, Davis Love was supposed to go on Sunday Night Football and name his picks for the Ryder Cup that night because they were flying to Paris, maybe?
They might have been, yeah.
Because Ryan Moore got picked.
Yeah, because it was...
Ryan Moore got picked because he had done so well.
Yes.
Kevin Chappell, there you go.
There you go.
That was the other one.
Great job.
So right as he's about to make his pick, power goes out in the media center. We lose all power. So I'm back there with a transformer trying to bump this thing back up. So anyway, crazy day, crazy night. I get done in the media center about midnight. We're in East Lake, which, you know, for those that know Atlanta, East Lake has a long story of poverty and the revitalization of East Lake through the Tour Championship is a big storyline that we would push. So it's not the greatest area of town. Nothing is open. I haven't eaten any dinner. I've been busy since 4 p.m. with all of the – and so I go to a Waffle House. I go and I sit down. I'm in a suit and tie. I've got my PJ Tour credential on, and this African-American guy comes and sits next to me, and he sits down, and he sees my credential, and he says, yo, man, you work for the Tour? I'm like, yeah. He goes – hey, and talking to the waitress at Waffle House. Y'all got lemonade? Y'all got sweet tea? Well, make me a effing Arnold Palmer because the king just died today. And there was a lot of expletives mixed in there. And to me, like the reach that showed, right? Of Arnold Palmer and who Arnold Palmer is. He was a 20-something,
right?
You know, African American kid at a Waffle House in East Lake
at midnight.
At midnight, who knew what an Arnold Palmer was and made the waitress make us one. You know, at a Waffle House was fantastic. That was really like one of those weird, cool days and moments of the career.
What about the one, speaking of those kind of moments, where you always liked the memorial press conference with Tiger and Jack, where you stole a golf ball?
The
stealing's probably a...
I stole it. every time you're with like Jack or Tiger or Rory or some of these people, but Jack is the one where like my dad's people know who Jack is, like, and they know Tiger. And so Tiger made a shot on 16 that Jack still calls one of the best shots he's ever seen. He chipped in from off the green to win Jack's tournament and tie Jack for victories. I think it was 73-ish, 79, somewhere, wherever Jack finished. See, Tom Alter would know that, too.
Well, I was working at the Hall of Fame because I was tracking that stuff.
Yeah. And so the number of victories, I think it was 73rd win or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he tied Jack on the all-time victory list at Jack's tournament.
Yeah.
And so you were working at the Hall of Fame and said, hey, can we get something from Tiger?
Right.
So we got the ball that went in, had him sign it, got a glove, had him sign it.
And a flag, too, I believe, right? Pin flag?
And so, but the cool moment is that I'm sitting there on stage with Jack, Mr. Nicholas, I'd say Mr. for those guys, and Tiger. I wonder when it'll transition to Mr. Woods. Right now it's just Tiger.
I don't know.
And Tiger on my right. So that was cool, but I sent the ball to you guys. You had it.
We put it up in the entryway of the Hall of Fame.
You had like a current events locker or something.
Well, actually,
right?
No, it's the end of the Hall of Fame. It was like when you ended your tour, because, for a long time I would have you take stuff from events for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, tour championship presidents, couple. We put it on display.
You know, when we had a 59, we would send you the scorecard.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So when you're done with them, you sent me the ball back.
I did.
So I have
I did.
That.
I did my job.
If there are any Golfers Journal fans that have some extra money that want to pay for that one ball.
Reimer's daughter still needs to go to college.
Yeah, I've recently quit my job and could use some money. So I still have that. I did send I had Tiger signed Joey LaCava's caddy bib at Zozo, his most recent win to Ty Snead. I did send that one back to Joey because he asked to have that back. I didn't keep that. I don't have that for sale.
How nice of you.
Yeah. I'm a gentleman.
You are a gentleman. That's very kind. I guess the very last thing we should probably talk about is when you and I managed to help Sergio celebrate his Players Championship in 2008.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
That Sergio for you know the 2003 through 2007 Reimer has some good stories about being out on the road.
Those stories though should probably stay off the podcast.
Correct. But for whatever reason I befriended Sergio's caddy Glenn and Gary, and those two kind of rotated. Glenn Murray.
Right. Glenn Caddy and Gary Caddy.
Yeah. And so we always would hang out kind of when I was on the road and Sergio would tag along. So you kind of have that moment where you, whether it's cool or not, you feel like Turtle in Sergio's entourage. I don't know if that's as cool as being in the real entourage, but it was an entourage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and Sergio had that's when he was doing the commercials with Michelob Ultra. You want to hit the clubs, you know?
Was that when he did the parking lot? Oh, that was like, These Guys Are Good commercial, which is still one of the great golf commercials of all time. I do every time I get to a grocery store parking lot.
Yeah,
I try to do that every time.
Sergio had just enough fame to where people would recognize him, but not enough fame before the days of cell phone pictures that we could get ourselves in trouble. So, when he won the Players Championship, his manager and I worked together to reserve a section of Lynch's Irish Pub here in Jack's Beach, because he was ready to celebrate. So we had a very
funny
evening.
You came running off the he gets done. And you come running, like there's a whole media scrum and the whole thing, and you've got all this work to do, and you see me, and you're like, hey, call Damien, we've got to get Lynch's done. I just talked to Sergio and his guys, they want us to do this. I was like, oh, okay.
So we're like, fantastic.
Scrambling to figure it out.
I believe
that was that the same week? Was it like a couple nights before when we went to a different bar in Jack's Beach? And they wouldn't let Sergio in?
No, that was totally different trip. He was here on a promotional event at Sawgrass, and they went out, and yes. the Ritz wouldn't let him in.
Because so he wasn't 21.
No, he didn't have his ID.
He left his ID.
So we literally took out the PGA Tour media guide to yes. show them his ID.
I think the dude was like, nope.
I think he threatened to buy the
yeah,
place.
Yeah, I'll buy this place.
And fire you.
Guy's like, okay, well, I still can't let you in, buddy.
Still don't have an ID. PGA Tour media guide was a good moment. Yeah. I think the Sergio winning night we were doing karaoke at Lynch's, and that's the night when Robert Allenby walked in.
Yes.
And we announced him, Bob Allenby.
Bob Allenby, ladies and gentlemen.
And he forever became Bob Allenby after that. Other good moments. We don't have to get into the stories I was on the green for, but the Miguel Keegan.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask about the fight.
Yeah, I was the guy that had to go on the green and try to break it up. And
well, tell them about so the fight.
So we're at TPC Harding Park yes. for a match play event, and there was some kind of discussion on the 18th hole where Miguel kind of butted in Miguel and Elimeneth. Butted into Keegan's a ruling that Keegan was involved with, and Keegan didn't appreciate the way Miguel spoke to Pepsi, his caddy at the time. And so they had a blow up in the fairway. And then when they got to the green and putted out, they got in each other's face. And so I had to go, and it was in front of the cameras. It's not a good look. Nobody wants to see. I mean, a lot of people want to see.
I think a lot of people
golfers fighting on the green, but
yeah,
it was my job.
I would disagree wholeheartedly.
It was my job to keep that from happening. I felt so. I kind of went up to them. And I said, guys, you know, there are cameras rolling. Why don't you guys go back to the locker room and take a few breaths? And because in other sports, you have that moment, right? In golf, you go from being on the green to doing media. There's
right.
no break.
No.
In most other sports, you have that cooling off period.
You get the walk from 18 green to a giant media screen.
In a
That's
locker
it.
Room in other sports.
Right.
Really smart place to send two teams. Go to your prospective locker rooms. Right. I sent them to the locker room. Unfortunately,
locker room.
They share the same locker
right.
room.
Yes, they do.
So the fight just broke out of the locker room. All the media followed them into the locker room to film said fight. And I'm like, oh, this is total disaster. This accomplished nothing that I had hoped for it to accomplish. They're in their face. Mark Russell's in there trying to break it up. You know, so that was as close as I got to the Ron Artest jumping into the fans.
Yeah, your intentions somebody. Were good. But
they
yeah,
were good. Right. Execution, not great.
Yeah, well, that happens a lot with
not great.
What else you got? What's on your list?
Well, if you go back to Tiger, it was Tour Champ. It's Malaysia. It's Jack. I was there for when he hit the ball on the roof at Firestone, which was
that
a
was
cool
funny.
Shot. He didn't end up hit the ball over 18. It bounced off a cart path, went on the roof. So he ended up dropping on like the 10th tee and hitting it over
yes.
and still making par. That
yes.
was one of the first tournaments that Tiger won in front of Charlie. In fact, the first where Charlie was on property, his son was at Firestone. And so I helped arrange kind of a photo session with him. That was a cool moment. I was there at Quail Hollow in the final round. He got penalized for moving a fence, and I didn't know that. And so I was ready to get some quotes from him when he left the scoring facility. So he had some choice words for me that day.
it wasn't the perfect friendship.
No,
I
mean, it wasn't
bounced
perfect.
Around a little bit over the years, but that's okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, those are the big ones. We've had other moments.
You've had
those
quite a ride.
Yeah,
the ride's not over yet.
I love, I'm excited to see where the ride goes, especially in the realm of what you guys do. I think we've talked a lot about things that we could have done in partnership together, but it never really fit for the Golfers Journal. Golfers
sure.
Journal wasn't about how many birdies and bogeys Jordan
right.
Spieth is going to get.
Right.
The Golfers Journal, to me, is about the soul of the game and what the game means to different people in different places. And I think to me, that's a space I'm excited to spend time
right.
in now.
Right. Welcome.
In the next,
welcome, my friend.
Hopefully 20 years of my career.
Once COVID is cleared up, though, can we still go to Atlanta on Saturday nights of the Tour Championship?
See, I thought.
And drop in on everyone and burn the house down.
I thought you were going to say, can we go to King Island? Yes,
we
can drive 5 hours
Atlanta
to Atlanta.
Seems more feasible. Atlanta seems a little more feasible. Yeah, I'm still thinking about Separate Ways, my journey.
Panama.
Yeah,
you always
Panama,
wanted
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah, keep your mind on that spot. Yes, let's make a standing. We have got to go. We still need to go to Scotland.
Yes.
and we need to go to King Island, and we'll go back to Atlanta.
So what I can see is that COVID needs to go away.
That would be great.
And you need to stop being so fertile. Those are the two things that are going to lend us to going on golf trips
together. Well, one of those things I can take care of. All right, my friend.